Oh yeah, real lifers, citizens of the world, welcome to the Real Life Global Movement, where our mission is to inspire, empower, and connect the world through English.
We believe that English should be a fun and enriching part of your life that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want. Are you tired of boring lessons that suck the life out of your learning? Are you ready to step up your game and become a kick-ass English speaker?
Well, we're here to guide and inspire you on your journey to true lifelong fluency. It's time to stop just learning English and start living it. Ken again, aw yeah?
Aw yeah! What is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, babies and old people? I'm Chad from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
dazzling
way to learn English. So download this podcast right now. Listen to us while you're stuck in traffic, walking the dog, ironing your underwear, or
walking the red carpet.
Oh yeah, I'm joined here today in the virtual studio by none other than Mr. V himself, Ethan. What's up, Ethan?
Not much, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Doing great. I'm just looking forward to doing this podcast. Feels like it's been ages.
Ages? Well, first of all, don't you think it's strange how to say, how are you doing? Like, just to actually break down that expression in English, it doesn't really make sense. It's like, how do you, it's more like how, you would never say how are you do that. It's how do you do that, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How are you? Yeah. How do you doing?
Maybe you would use it if it was like a magician and he's showing you some magic and you say, how are you doing that?
Yeah. You but say, how are you doing that, but not how are you do that.
Exactly. Yeah, or how,
or
do,
how do you...
Yeah,
how do you do?
I guess the how you doing comes from a... obviously, it's an American English kind of a thing, right?
Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah. In Australia...
Also the how do you do?
Yeah, how do you do?
How do you do what?
Have you heard people say, howdy doody?
Howdy doody. It sounds... What is that from? It's kind of like a Western thing?
Howdy doody, ma'am. Mighty fine over here. It's mighty cold over here up in these hills.
Don't know where that came from, but...
Oh, it's an old Western kind of accent. Hey, ma'am. Yeah. Hey, ma'am.
Howdy prospector. Old prospector.
Yeah.
Accent.
I was going to say... very quickly here as well. In Australia, it's often people say, how are you going?
Yeah. I think we've mentioned that on some of our Aussie podcasts.
So it's funny how in Australia we say, how are you going? Because there was a comedian once who said, he's a South African comedian, and he said he was at the airport, and he was going back to South Africa. And when he arrived at the checkout desk, they said, hey, mate, how you going? And he said, I'm going by plane. How else would I be going?
cool. Stupid Australians.
Yeah. Damn those. Damn those Aussies. You don't get, you know, I think it's the lack of oxygen down under.
Could be, but I don't know why. Maybe that would explain a lot of things too in Colorado.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That high altitude.
Yeah. There you go. That must be it. So when we introduced this podcast, you mentioned that you could listen to this podcast while walking the red carpet. What is a red carpet and why is that relevant to today's topic?
Yeah, I think that's actually what Jennifer Lawrence does. I think she listens to the Real Life English podcast while walking the red carpet.
Oh, yeah?
So that comes from the red carpet is generally at the award shows, like the most famous one is the Oscars, I think. For cinema, for movies, they always have a red carpet that when the stars arrive in their limos and fancy cars, they get out and they walk down the red carpet into the building.
Yeah.
So when we say walk the red carpet, it's kind of like the entrance for the stars.
Yeah. It has this notion that if you walk down the red carpet, you are a celebrity. You are very important for some reason.
You're rich and famous.
Yeah. Not to mix. It's funny how we use the color red for certain expressions. Like I can also say to paint the town red.
Yeah, I've never understood why do we say that, paint the town red?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the expression just means to go and have a great night and go and maybe get a little crazy, go to some bars, maybe socialize and drink or whatever. But yeah, I'm not too sure where red comes from. It's a very strange color because, you know, people generally associate red with kind of like blood.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Or maybe it could just be like trouble, you know, like you're going to get into some trouble, you're going to paint the town red.
Hmm. That's right. So, yeah. Yeah, red's also used for, like, trouble, like, to warn people, like, danger and stuff like that.
Or even just, like, you know, thinking of someone driving in a bright red fast car. It's kind of like calling attention to the police. It's like, you better look out. I'm going to be causing some trouble this evening.
Mm.
I'm going to paint the town red.
Okay. Anyway, so, yeah, walk the red carpet is relevant to Jennifer Lawrence and also what she does, which is she's an actor. Actress?
She's an actress, yeah.
Do we call them, do we say actress? Isn't male and female both just actor now?
No, well, I don't know, unless that's a new thing, but I've always thought it's like one of those rare words in English where we actually have a masculine and feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always say actress for like Jennifer Lawrence or, you know, any female actor would be an actress for me.
For sure. Yeah, for me too. For some reason, I just thought it was one of those recently politically correct ways of, you know, everyone's an actor, why do we have to change it? But so she's an actress and she stars in many movies, and that is the topic of today's podcast. It's all about movies, how to inquire about certain movies, what you can expect to get from different movies. What else are we going to cover here, Mr. V?
Might just mention some of our favorites if we have time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Are you a fan of Jennifer Lawrence? I mean, she...
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just watched or rewatched the other night, which is a good... We say a lot of times when you watch something again, we'll add re to the beginning, so say rewatch. So I rewatched the movie Joy, which is a really good... I mean, I think it's as far as like us being kind of entrepreneurs, having our own company and stuff, it's kind of like this woman who never gives up on basically her idea on this invention and basically becomes very successful at the end. And it's based on a true story, but I think almost everything Jennifer Lawrence is in, she just gives a spectacular performance.
Mm. Okay, so first of all, she never gives up. To give something up means?
To quit.
Yes, and a spectacular performance.
Yeah. So we would say that like an actor or an actress, they give a performance that has to do with how they act in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I always think like to go the opposite way, I always think Keanu Reeves gives like a really bad performance. He's an actor who I can't take seriously because I just think that his acting is terrible.
Well, people have said similar things about Jennifer Lawrence. She has a bit of a, you know, she doesn't change character as much. She kind of always has this little bit of a dryness about her personality, maybe. What's that called when the actor can't really escape a certain role?
Oh, yeah. Typecasted, right?
Yep, that's it. Good, nice memory. So when I say role in this case, what do I mean?
A role is basically the part that they're playing. So mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence was... for example, in Hunger Games,
yeah,
her name is Katniss Everdeen, so she plays the role of Katniss Everdeen in the Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's probably why she might have gotten typecasted, because people always think of her as having that, like, the braid, right?
No, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah.
Typecasted. Which braid is like it's like the hairstyle that she wears in that is a braid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the hair is woven into a kind of this intricate. Looks pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes guys get braids, but it's called cornrows.
That's kind of different, though. Like, Willie Nelson has a braid, but cornrows are more like when you have, like, the tight
lines of braids. It's more like African-American style,
typically.
Right? Yeah.
You don't see many white guys rocking the cornrows.
No, no. You should try it, man. I think it might look good on you. Okay, so on the subject of movies and Jennifer Lawrence and cornrows, how should we start this topic and what do we want to be teaching these guys today, man?
Maybe we could just start with some good questions that they might want to ask or that they might get asked if they're talking mm-hmm. about if they're talking about movies or going to the movies, watching the newest hit.
Cool. That's a great place to start because I guess it's very easy to start a conversation about a movie. Like if you've seen a movie with someone, if you've seen a movie and someone else has seen that same movie, it's a great conversational point. You know, might start a nice new conversation, new friendship. Who knows?
Definitely. There's a lot of cinephiles out there.
What's a cinephile?
A cinephile is a movie lover.
Hmm. Okay. It's a funny suffix, file, you know, because you generally hear that on like pedophile.
Yeah, but file is just like, I think it's Greek for love or something. So it just comes from, it's just like a root that means love and it gets a bad connotation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's been stereocasted for bad words.
Typecasted.
Typecasted, sorry, yeah. Okay, sweet. So what are some of these questions, man? Which are some important questions that people can prepare themselves when sparking conversations about cinema and movies?
So did you see the trailer? Did you see that trailer for that new Jennifer Lawrence movie?
Okay, a trailer. See, that's what's a trailer?
A trailer is basically like the summary. It's like a short video that kind of gets you excited to see the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes a trailer can be even better than the movie. Like you see the trailer, wow, that looks so action-packed and amazing. And then you see the movie and you're like, it's okay.
Yeah, or it's, I think it happens nowadays a lot of times with comedies is that you see the trailer and you're like, oh, that looks so hilarious. I got to go see that. And then you see it and you're like, well, they put all the funniest parts in the trailer. So.
Yeah, you're right. That does suck.
So that always blows when that happens.
Yeah. And another thing is that here in Australia, we don't use the term a trailer. We'd always say a preview.
A preview?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I actually went to the movies. I went to the movies on Monday night with my brother. And I was angry because I said, man, we're going to miss the previews because it was taking a long time to get out of the house, you know?
Okay. Yeah. We would actually, for us, that would be, we'd use that in that case as well. We're going to miss the previews, which is like the trailers that come before the movie.
Yeah.
We say the same, but if you're just talking about like one movie, if I said like, did you see the trailer for Terminator, for example?
Mm-hmm.
There's like a new movie coming out. Did you see the trailer yet? I just would be asking, did you see like the clip that is promoting that movie?
Yeah. I hear ya. Sweet.
And I would also say that a lot of times, like if I'm with friends trying to pick out a movie, we might first watch the trailer. I might ask my friends before we choose a movie to watch, did it get good ratings?
Okay. Yeah. Where would you... So ratings would be like, for example, it depends how they rate the movie, whether it's like, you know, how many stars did it get? Sometimes it's out of 4, 1 to 5 stars, maybe 1 to 10 points. Or there's also a rating system that I think is just for movies, which is tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is a very popular website that is famous just for rating movies, right? I think. I'm not too sure.
Mm-hmm. It's good because you can get the critics and the popular rating. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'll usually look at the popular rating more than the critic's rating.
Yeah.
What would you say? What is a critic?
A critic would be a person who is supposedly a movie buff, in this case. Buff being...
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. A buff would be a person that knows a lot about that subject. Maybe they've even like maybe they've done some kind of university... You know, I think like... for example, a food critic is probably someone who has a lot of experience as a chef themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a movie critic is just someone who's like in the media a lot and has seen written a lot of reviews about movies and things like this. So, critic is somebody who has a very good perspective on what is and what isn't a good movie. So they're typically someone that you would believe much more, as opposed to myself or Ethan telling you that this movie is really awesome.
I usually find the opposite, though, that like a lot of times critics give a movie a really bad rating, but then I see it and I end up really enjoying it. So like critics, I think that they have an overly professional view, or I think they can be overly critical, which is, I guess that's their job. But that's why I usually like to look at Rotten Tomatoes and see the popular vote, because I think generally seeing what other real people, like non-professionals, say about the movie is more relevant to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, would that be, ratings, because ratings also can be a different thing when it comes to a movie, because you have your ratings, like how good was the movie, but also ratings in a sense of, you know, is it a G rating? And I'm not sure. I think it's a little different in Australia and the United States, but here we have G, which is like general, which means that any age can watch it, or PG, which means like parental guidance. So if you're a little kid, you have to watch it with a parent. Then we have like M15. So you have to be like 15 or something to watch it. Then we have R18. And then that's it.
We have, so it's similar. We have G, PG, which are the same. And then we have PG-13, which is like you should be over 13, or you should have parental guidance up until the age of 13 to see it. Hmm. And then we have R, which is, it's the same. It's like R-18, which is basically means that you should be over 18 to see it. Or I think it's like, maybe it's for restricted. It's restricted to people over 18. Mm-hmm. And then actually you have after that as well, you have X, but that's like for pornography.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's technically classified in the the film rating system.
You don't tend to see that at your local cinema.
No. Depends. You can still find it somewhere.
But anyway, what else might you ask your friends before you're going to choose to watch a movie?
Well, first of all, I would probably ask them maybe what kind of movies they like to watch, like different genres of movie. Mm-hmm. So like the most common ones would be like, comedies, action movies, rom-coms.
What are rom-coms?
A rom-com would be a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You might be in the mood for a nice chick flick.
Okay. Yeah. Love my chick flicks.
What's a chick flick?
A chick flick is a movie that is generally some kind of a drama romance movie that is more favored by women.
Yeah. I don't even know if it has to necessarily be drama, because there's like, for example, like Twilight, or if you see like Sex and the City, or what's the other one? 50 Shades of Grey that are popular. Like those are all definitely more, they're kind of like different genres, like fantasy to being kind of more more comedies and stuff like that, but they're all chick flicks.
Yeah. It's funny, like, really quick tangent story. When I went to the cinema on Monday, I was like, it was really late, just the late session, so there's like not many people there, and there's a new 50 Shades of Grey movie, right?
That's what you went to see?
No.
With your brother?
I went and saw Logan. but when I was walking into the cinema to sit down, and there was a younger girl and an older woman that were talking about, I heard them saying, like, the older woman said to the younger, oh, have you even seen that 50 Shades of Grey or whatever the new one is? And then I think I heard her say yes, and I just continued walking. I didn't hear any of their conversation, but I put my drink down in my chair and I walked back to use the bathroom. And as I was approaching the two women, the girl was like chatting, and I kind of came up behind her, and she's like, I could hear what she said. She's like, yeah, and she, like, they're talking about a sex scene. And as soon as I came up, they looked at me like, like with this horrid look on her face, you know. So it's definitely a movie that is getting, it's a very sexual kind of movie that I think is the first of its kind that has been at a cinema like that, right?
Yeah, without being X-rated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a chick flick, maybe. I haven't seen it.
That's definitely a chick flick.
No. What other what's your favorite kinds of movies? If it was a genre, and I said, "Hey, Ethan, man, let's go catch a movie," what kind of movies do you like? How would you respond to that question?
So definitely, it kind of depends what mood I'm in. So I think a lot of times, too, you hear people say, oh, what are you in the mood for? Like if you're trying to decide to go to the movies or watch a movie. But I think generally, like I prefer to watch like a comedy or like something that's more of an action or thriller that's kind of like going to keep me on the edge of my seat, you know?
Mm. Oh, what do you mean by to keep you on the edge of your seat?
It means that it's like really exciting. So it's almost like you think that you're sitting in a chair at the movies and like you're a lot of times when you're anticipating what's going to happen next, you actually kind of like lean forward and you scoot forward in your chair. You scoot forward. You move your butt forward on your chair.
Mm-hmm.
So you, that's kind of like, you use that a lot too for movies. Like I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It was so gripping, which just means it's very exciting.
Yeah.
So
would you think as an element of being like, you feel kind of nervous, like it's exciting, because there's another expression we have, which is like a nail biter.
Mm-hmm. A nail biter, yeah.
Like if the movie was, that movie was a bit of a nail biter. It means I was anxious throughout the whole movie. I was kind of like biting my nails because it kind of, yeah, has that.
Yeah. I think too, it's like, what was I going to say? I totally just lost my train of thought there.
Nail biting, 50 Shades of Grey.
You're on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
I was going to say kind of, because you said it can make you anxious too, so I think it kind of depends maybe if it's more of a thriller or like a mystery, or if it's more of an action, because there's some of the actions where it's just like stuff's exploding and it's like Bruce Willis or Arnold Schwarzenegger have some guns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's probably more like you're on the edge of the seat because like things are blowing up and it's very exciting. And then there's like the ones as well that are more suspense. I really like suspense movies is another good one.
Oh, sweet. So
what's a suspense?
So I have a little bit of a trouble distinguishing the difference between a suspense and a thriller, maybe. Maybe there's some overlap. I'm not too sure. I could be totally wrong. But when I think of suspense, I think of more of like a police detective kind of, you know, who's the killer, he's right behind me, or is there some kind of mystery in it as well, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Would I be correct?
Yeah, I think it's generally like suspense, like it actually means that it kind of keeps you on the edge of your seat, that it keeps you asking questions in doubt, like not knowing what's going to happen. So I think that's basically suspense, that it's like the whole time you're waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
and it's I think like a lot of movies like that can be kind of a mind fuck.
Yes, a mind fuck. What is a mind or mind blow? The PG-13 version of it, maybe.
Mind blowing, maybe. Mind blowing would be more that it's like surprising. Though.
Yeah, you're right. It is different. Yeah. So yeah, what is a mind fuck? How would you explain that?
So that would be like we were just talking before we started recording about a movie called Rival, which we recently saw. Which was really good. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it. Stars Amy Adams. But anyway,
it's great for like language learners too, because it takes a cool kind of approach on a new language.
And it wasn't what I expected at all, because I was thinking, oh, it's another alien movie. It is about like aliens coming to Earth, but it's not at all what you would expect. It's much more about language. But it's a mind fuck because there's just a. You're the whole time you're not really sure what's going to happen. You're like thinking that it might be like one of these alien invasion movies, but you're not sure. And there's kind of a big twist at the end where you all of a sudden get it.
Okay.
All of a sudden.
What do you mean by a twist? How do we use the term twist in this case?
So a twist, it's when the plot is going along and you think you know what's going to happen, but then all of a sudden something completely changes that you did not expect. That's a twist.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like, spoiler alert here, if anyone hasn't seen The Sixth Sense, but that movie had a big twist when it turns out that Bruce Willis was actually dead. He was like a ghost talking to the boy. He was some kind of a medium. What do I mean by spoiler alert? And if you didn't know what that really meant and I just spoiled it for you, I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert means that a spoiler basically means that you're giving away the big ending.
Yeah.
You're going to spoil it. You're going to ruin it for the person. So that's a spoiler. Mm-hmm. And when you say spoiler alert, it's like, I'm going to tell you, I'm like giving you a spoiler alert, so you should probably plug your ears if you don't want to hear this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Plug your ears, meaning to this block. Yeah. Block your ears with your fingers, maybe, so you don't hear what they're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So we're just wrapping up the podcast. Maybe just we could mention a couple of our all-time favorites.
Hmm. Okay.
Maybe
all-time favorite movies.
You like about them? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't really put much thought into this yet, but there's a couple of other little things we had written down here, like what if we just went over like really quick, like we mentioned the twists. What about for example, like sequels and trilogies, mm-hmm. when there's like a sequential movies where you have like more than one version of them. They always say that three is too much, right?
Yeah. They have like trilogy, like Lord of the Rings is a pretty good one.
Okay.
You know, I think like three probably wasn't too much. Nowadays, you see like every movie, not every movie, but a lot of movies being broken up into like threes or sevens or eights. It's like Harry Potter was like seven books and they made it into eight movies, where it's like the last two probably could have just been one.
Yeah. Rocky, I think Rocky was a good one. Rocky all the way up to about Rocky 5 was okay. Even the new Rockies are pretty cool, I think.
It's got a lot. It's a lot of sequels. Mm-hmm. So the sequels are just the follow-ups, right?
Yeah. Unless it's like Star Wars, where it's like the sequel's actually before the original, then they're, you know, that one gets all...
That's kind of a mindfuck.
That one is a mindfuck, yeah. Another cool word you'd written down here, which is kind of interesting, is like the word a remake.
A remake.
Yeah.
That's really common nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. Can you think of a famous remake?
There's one coming out maybe this week, or it just came out, Beauty and the Beast. There's a Beauty and the Beast remake that's like with Emma Watson, the girl who played Hermione in Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, movies. I can't remember her name. Yeah, something like that.
So she's like Belle in Beauty and the Beast. They're doing like a non-animated remake, which they're doing that pretty much with all the Disney movies, I think, nowadays.
And I heard they're actually remaking it kind of scene for scene.
It's quite possible.
Yeah, some aspects of it are like scene for scene, but it's with real people. What do I mean by scene for scene?
It means that like every part of it, they're doing the same.
Mm-hmm.
A scene is basically what one sequential part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in that scene on 50 Shades of Grey when he's like spanking her with the... I don't know. That's what that movie's about, right?
It's a romantic... A romantic sex drama or something like that.
Mm. But I thought it was actually... I thought the guy got kind of a little bit brute. You know, it was... What's it called when you like it when people, like, hit you?
It's like S&M, right?
S&M, yep.
Yeah.
So I've heard that's what it's called, right?
I have yet to see the movies, but...
Yeah,
me
too.
One of my students got dragged there by his wife the other day to watch the new 50 Shades of Grey movie, and he said it wasn't as bad as he was expecting.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can...
surprised.
Maybe we can go check it out one day.
Maybe. Just the two of us.
Okay. So winding up the podcast here, what are some of your favorite movies, Ethan? If you were to...
So I think like to give like a use some more vocabulary, like for me, Pulp Fiction and Fight Club, those are both like classics for me.
Hmm. Okay, classic. What do you mean by classics in this case? Because they're not that
classic
old
is
movies.
Based. Oh, but now they are. They're old enough now.
Yeah. Okay.
They're from before my time, even.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
So. From before my, when I say before my time, I mean before I was born. And I'm not sure if Fight Club is. I think Pulp Fiction is, though. And when I say that they are classics, it means that they are like, they're kind of older movies that will always be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's maybe another term you can use is timeless.
they're timeless. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which means that even with that time, they don't. Because there are so many movies now that are from, like, you know, 20 years ago that when you watch them, like for example, mm-hmm. a movie that I watched 20 years ago when I was a kid or whatever, and I was like, that's the best movie ever. It's amazing. You know, you can't get much better than that. Then you watch it now and you're like, that is a pretty shit movie.
Yeah. Or like you watch, for example, like Home Alone, and you're like, that would make no sense nowadays because that kid would just have a cell phone and he would call the police.
Yeah. Or, we remember how we, when we were in Chile and we watched, the first Mad Max?
Yeah. And I fell asleep during that one.
Well, was watching, like, yeah, it was a snoozer. Yeah, what is a snoozer?
It means it's really boring. Snooze is to sleep, so it's like a movie that makes you want to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the scenes are really, like, I feel like the scenes in old movies are really long and kind of dragged out. I think with the evolution of filmmaking, it's just become so much stuff is put into a scene. There's so much there. There's so much, mm-hmm. so much grabbing your attention that there are no moments where you're not wanting to pay attention to what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like there's kind of those older ones. Sometimes they just have, like, long scenes of, like, the main character, like, staring off into the distance or something. You're kind of like, okay, let's move it along.
Yeah, yeah.
This movie could have taken, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, like Titanic. Did you ever see Titanic?
Yeah, of course.
That was a classic. That is a classic, yeah. What are some of your other favorite movies? I'll definitely agree with you. Pulp Fiction. And Fight Club. I'm more of a fan of Fight Club, but I did enjoy mm-hmm. Pulp Fiction too.
Yeah. Let's see. Like, one of my all-time favorites is Into the Wild, which is, I just like it because of, like, the pure adventure of that movie and the kind of, I think just the spirit of, like, not of, of kind of doing something different than what everyone, what your family, what society expects you to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like the adventurous spirit of the guy in that. It's got kind of a sad ending. I won't give it away, but yeah, it's, but I think the whole movie overall, it's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, that is a great movie. I think also that how he just kind of just, he leaves society, you know. It's something that I think maybe he's acting on something that has kind of resonates with a lot of people, like, yeah, I would love to do that one day. So I think that's why it was also a very cool kind of movie. It's kind of refreshing to see that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How about some of yours? Any come top of mind?
Well, I think just we were talking earlier about Rocky. I think Rocky mm-hmm. is definitely a series of movies, at least all the way up to Rocky IV. I remember growing up and I just loved those movies, you know. My brother mm-hmm. actually, he has a stepdaughter that he actually made her watch all of the Rockies. Yeah. And she loves it. She loves it. She thinks it's great. It's very motivational, you know. I think it's a movie that it's kind of like the typical, the underdog, you know, mm-hmm. underdog.
We talked about last week.
Yeah, we did. You're right. The underdog, the guy
with Lucy.
Lucy, yes. I'll just quickly explain it now because it's a pretty cool term. So Rocky is the underdog at the start of the movies because he's like no one. He has no money. He's very poor, and he, you know, he starts boxing, and nobody wants him to win. People don't really like him, but then he starts because he has not as much potential as someone, people start to really like him and he ends up winning. Mm-hmm. But I think it has a lot of really cool, like, moral little life lessons you can learn from those kinds of, like, feel good movies. I do definitely like those ones, even like sports movies, you know. There's one, I think it's called Invincible. Could be wrong.
It's a newer one?
No, it's with Mark Wahlberg. That could be the wrong movie, but he's like an NFL football player. Well, he's trying to be, but he's okay. He's too old to make the draft and all this other stuff. But he's similar underdog kind of a story, you know, like the guy, he's no one, you know, people think he has no hope, but he ends up, you know, breaking people's expectations, succeeding people's expectations. Is that the right word?
Yeah, exceeding. Another good one like that is, it's like more of a kids movie, but it's called Sandlot, which is like, I think it's a classic kids movie in the United States because it's about kind of like the new kid in town who like moves there. He doesn't have any friends, but he starts like playing basketball with these kids, and makes all his friends, and it's kind of like an adventure sort of thing. So I think, like, actually I might suggest that one to English learners, because the language is going to be easy enough, and just like the baseball culture is so typical for American kids.
Is that the one when there's a big dog that lives over the back fence?
Exactly, yeah.
Ah, I've seen that one. Yeah, yeah.
It's a classic.
That is great. I used to love that movie too. Yeah, it's one of those movies you see like on TV, like, you know, the afternoon, you know, movie for kids to watch after school kind of a thing, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. But yeah, I can't really think of one specific movie. I like old movies, really. I think movies are great because it kind of like pulls you out of your own reality for like an hour or two, and you can really, I don't know, I think it's a really good way to kind of unwind, but also get your brain thinking if it's a good movie, you know?
Yeah.
Even comedies.
It depends a lot on like the kind of movie you choose, right? Because like sometimes you just want something that's kind of mindless.
Yeah.
That you don't have to really think too much, and like sometimes you want something that's kind of like a head scratcher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes maybe even a bit of a tearjerker.
Or I guess if you go see 50 Shades of Grey, it might be a something else jerker.
On that note, maybe we should wind up the old podcast. What do you reckon?
Let's do it.
All right, guys. So thank you for joining us here today. We really hope we have helped you with some new vocabulary, preparing you for, you know, going to see some movies, inviting friends, even talking about your favorite movies is a great way to start a conversation with people. Maybe you've created a bond, a friendship, who knows, maybe even a romantic relationship. People love movies. So if you want to contact us, you can email me personally. It is chad@reallifeglobal.com, or you can email Ethan@reallifeglobal.com. Let us know if you have any questions about this podcast or any suggestions for future podcasts, as we love to hear from all you guys. And yeah, if you don't know, if you're listening to this just on iTunes, definitely recommend you go to the actual podcast page where you see all the show notes, and you can see also lots of other cool stuff that we offer, like our Fluent with Friends course, and also we have the podcast Power Lessons, which is 40 power lessons that we break down all the vocabulary, pronunciation, culture references. Awesome learning experience. Just go to our website, reallifeglobal.com, and on the nav bar, click on podcasts, and you'll see the link to this podcast right there.
Easy? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So thanks for listening one last time. Give me an oh, yeah, on 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. A wee mower, 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 a wee mower,